This is Phone Doc.
And this mess stinking.
When we ain't chilling up in the bricks in the Shaolin, we chilling out here in Montreal.
On CKUT.
Nobody do it better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Gone.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We have been running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates, family, and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
You're listening to CKUT. The following programming is taken from CKUT's Time Capsule Archives. For more from our 35 years of freeform broadcasting, visit our website at ckut.ca.
Afraid to get involved in me because I'm afraid I'm going to run back to men. Men are afraid I'm going to run back to women and so on. And it's not true. I mean, I fall in love with people, not their body parts.
Right.
I like that. That's a good finishing comment.
Okay. I think we've solved the problem today, don't you think?
Yes, yeah. I think we've progressed a little bit. I think it's important that people recognize the fact that we do have to be more open. And if titles are part of that, then let's start changing the language and let's start looking at the language. You mentioned something earlier about a queer community. And that has certainly been an agenda of the group Queer Nation and people who are following sort of in the footsteps of Queer Nation, is to come up with labels that are all-encompassing. And it's simply the fact that people are different. And what we're really fighting for is that we are more accepting of difference, no matter what kind of difference it be. It is 20.
Good afternoon, my name's Ronit.
And I'm Melanie.
And in the station, we're two women who ride skateboards. We're skater dykes. You didn't think that women ride skateboards? Well, we do. Stay tuned and find out.
I just know where I live.
there once again. My name's Ronit, and Melanie's here. And we're two members of Skater Dykes, which is a skateboarding group for dykes. And although it seems like there's a few of us, more and more Skater Dykes we meet every day, and the group is growing. Myself and Melanie got into skateboarding for different reasons, but we both faced discrimination because we were girls, and that's why we decided to form our own sort of skating dyke group. And Melanie, you've been riding for a lot longer than I have.
I started riding 14 years ago. Funny that my dad bought me my first skateboard, clay wheels and a plastic deck. And I kept on skating till like when I was 13 years old. But after a while, I felt uncomfortable on a board because I just didn't see other women skating, and I felt intimidated, and I felt like I had to stop, and I did, which was shameful because I love the sport, and it's practically my favorite sport. So last year, I bought a new skateboard, and I just met you recently, and I found out you skated, and I was so happy and excited, and also because you're a dyke.
I've always been envious. You've been skating for a long time, 14 years, and myself, you know, I was never encouraged to skate. I grew up in a culture, around the skateboarding culture, lots of boys that skated and the hardcore scene, and mm-hmm. I really loved that scene. But it never occurred to me that I could actually skate too, because it was the boys that skated and the girls watched, you know? And the boys got really good at skateboarding, and it's just recently that I thought, well, why not? I mean, why don't women ride skateboards, you know? And, well, we were talking about skateboards always have this sort of radical counterculture kind of mystique to them, but they're very mainstream in the sense that still not very many women ride them.
I don't see how skateboarding differs from roller skating, rollerblades, bicycling, or any other sport. I don't see why it has to be deemed just as a man's sport. I mean, the other day when you and I were on Sherbrooke Street, and I had my skateboard, and this Chinese man walked by and mumbled something to us, and I thought he was trying to identify with me because right. I'm Chinese myself, and when we asked him to repeat himself, basically he was sort of giving us shit that we were on skateboards and that we shouldn't be on skateboards and it was just a man's sport. And yeah. We were rather shocked by that. And we asked him to explain what he meant, and he told us that we should be wearing quote-unquote red lipstick and in the theaters with our boyfriends, which, of course, we don't have. And and he was so adamant to point out what a real woman looked like, and he started summoning women off the sidewalk and pointing them out to us, and finally he found the perfect woman in his eyes, which turned out to be this dyke that we both know.
Yeah,
which is kind of ironic.
It reinforces the point that women and skateboarding is not accepted. But it's strange because the more women I speak to, so many of them have skateboarded, especially dykes. I found so many dykes mm-hmm. have skateboarded. Mm-hmm. And I guess this group, we formed it to try to encourage women who have skateboarded to get on it and skate again, and also any women that haven't but are interested to learn, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm out on my skateboard or holding my skateboard, I feel confident. I feel secure. I feel good. I feel unique. Even though, like, they call me names and they yell at me, men will yell at me telling me I'm going to fall off my skateboard, I'm going to hurt myself. But I just ignore them, and I don't even think half of them know how to ride. And, you know, I just, like, do what I want to do, and I'm good at it, to be quite frank at. So, we're doing a movie. Do you want to talk about your movie?
Well, no, how about we talk about that after our next song so we can leave people okay. in suspense. But if you're interested in learning to ride a skateboard, or if you do skate, we'd love to hear from you. And you can get in contact with us. We'll give you the number now, and then we'll repeat it later. The number is 848-7474, and that is the offices of CUSA. And to get in touch with the Skater Dykes, leave a message for the Skater Dykes in care of Lesbian Studies. And you have to mention Lesbian Studies in order to get the message to us. It's complicated, but we'll get back to you. Don't worry. And now we're going to play a song called Identity from the 1970s. Actually, it's kind of a earlier song. It's not part of the skater thrash movement, a bit earlier. But I love this song because it's a woman's group sung by a woman, and identity could be identity as a woman, as a lesbian, or in our case, as a skater dyke.
Identity.
That's Identity by the X-Ray Specs off a anthology called Burning Ambitions, A History of Punk. And we're reclaiming punk, thrash, and skateboarding.
And as women.
As women, as dykes. We're the Skater Dykes, a new group in Montreal, women, dykes, whoever, that love to skateboard.
Okay, just to run over a few figures, because we called a few shops. There's three shops in Montreal, skateboard shops. And we asked them about women in skateboarding. And they said that it ranges from about 5% to less than 1% of skateboarders who are female. And and that there are only about 12 professional skateboarders in Montreal. And that's why we have this group.
Yeah, there was one guy at one store that said in 3 years he had seen only 5 female skateboarders.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised at all, because on the streets I only see myself and you.
Yeah.
And the people I know.
There's hardly any women skateboarders. But there's going to be more, hopefully, after we hear the show. Come out of the closet, everyone. Yeah.
And even if you don't know how to skate...
We'll teach you. That's the great thing.
It's for women who are interested and who are in the culture.
And non-competitive.
Just, mm-hmm.
But one thing I just wanted to mention, like... Because I've always been into the thrash aspect and the punk aspect, and you never have, and that's kind of neat.
Well, I have in high school, but that did not correlate with my skateboarding.
Okay. For me, it did, and like I said, let's reclaim it. And we were going to talk about the movie, weren't we? We left some people in suspense there. Anyway, so I'm making a skateboarding movie, a Skater Dyke movie.
Well, Winnie, you did two other films before.
Yeah, I did Tearing the Veil and You Can't Beat It Out of Us, which were both lesbian films and continuing the tradition.
And as far as I understand it, quite well known within the dyke scene.
Yeah, well, they're well known. Thank you for the plug. But anyway, this film... We're also looking for skaters. That's why we want to meet more female skaters. And we're going to shoot it this summer. And I can't... Because I haven't... Same with, there are not many female skateboarders. There's been 2 skateboarding movies out, and it's been full of men. And there's going to be another one. It's going to be shot either in Montreal, Toronto, or Vancouver, and it's also a skateboarding movie. And there's 1 female character, or 2 female characters, but that's not very many. At least it's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder what they actually represent in the movie, although I don't know. But
yeah, well...
I mean, are they actually going to be dykes? I doubt it.
No, of course not. This is it.
Right. Right.
Never.
And we're also doing pins, too. We're making pins because we're planning to march in the Toronto Gay Pride Parade as Skater Dykes, and we're going to be selling pins and wearing pins. And our slogan is Skater Dykes Ride with Pride. So if you're interested in marching with us, if you're going to be marching in the Toronto Parade as a Skater Dyke, I mean, you could reach us at CUSA, and the number again is 848-7474, and you have to ask for lesbian studies, is that it?
Yeah.
Right, under Skater Dykes. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Even if Montreal, we might have a contingency. I don't know. If you are a skateboarder and you're going to be in the Montreal Gay Lesbian Parade, come out on your skateboard and join us.
Yeah, I won't be here.
Yeah, you won't be there. I might be there, but we will be in Toronto.
And also we're looking volunteers for your film.
Right. Mm-hmm. So whatever, I hope people are listening, dykes are listening, going, yeah, right on, I want to skateboard, I want to learn. And we don't mean to exclude, like, roller skaters. There is no competition.
No, there is always, like, that history of rivalry, but, we're a happy family.
Yeah, if you do roller skate, you can... Get in touch with us,
you're
too.
You're dyke, too.
Okay. We're out of time. We're going to end with The Prize by the female thrash band Frightwig.
And remember, ride with pride.
Bye!
the street reactions to how do you know if someone's gay or lesbian?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't? So you can't tell if a woman's a lesbian?
Yeah, well, sometimes you can, but me, I don't know. I just, I look whether they're gay or not.
When you're walking around and you see a man, how can you tell if he's gay? Or can you, period?
Well, sometimes he can. I don't know. The eyes, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the way his hair is cut, the way he walks. That tells you. I don't know. There's a lot of factors, I guess.
Of course, I'm sure if he's cruising or something, you know, mm-hmm. for sure, it's obvious. But I don't know. I don't really, you know, unless I'm attracted to the person, it's the only time that I'll actually really try to take notice of them, try to figure it out. But half the time, it's too late. The person's gone.
So they don't have a big G for gay tattooed on their head anywhere. You can't actually tell.
Well, I think some people do. I mean, they don't tattoo it, but they put it elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's, you know, that's cool. But I mean, that's just the people that you know, want to, you know, dress up to the genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are lots of symbols and stuff. Whether it's you know, in different aspects of the gay culture. You know, there's this more than one gay culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more than one way of dressing to the dressing to it.
A colleague of mine asked me the question. He says, "Are you gay?" And I went, "Well, why do you ask the question?" And he started explaining why, you know, and he had some gay friends. He told me later. He says, well, the way you dress and what you talk about and you're sophisticated and educated and whatever, you know, all kinds of reasons. And I think that basically, you know, the way you dress is by itself an expression of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And same with people, you know, gay football players, you know, gay anybody. I think they express themselves in how they look at people, how they walk, how they dress. So it's basically a factor of that. It's not one way you're going to dress is going to tell you're gay or not. It's
mm-hmm.
basically according to your to who you are. You know, it's what you're going to project.
Not really. Not by the way they dress or speak or talk. No. But I can tell, I mean, most of the times I can tell if I see a lesbian. I don't know too much about gay men, but lesbian, it's in the eyes. It's just in the attitudes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gay people have an attitude?
Kind of funny. No, I don't. Maybe it's not an attitude. Maybe it's just the energy around them.
Most of the time I'd say so, but I did make mistakes.
Yeah.
Just like looking at an interesting or interested guy in the eyes, and thinking he was gay, but he wasn't. He was just really interested
yeah.
in talking with someone, and he wasn't gay,
mm-hmm.
but never had any bad experience anyway. So,
well, that's great.
Albacore! Good afternoon. It's 3:45, quarter to four, and this is Gay Day, the third annual Gay Day on CKUT 90.3 FM.
And lesbian.
Gay and lesbian. Thank you, Bertu. You're absolutely right. Yeah, we tend to call it Gay Day because it's so catchy, but it's not really explicit enough. Gay and Lesbian Day. Ha. Huh. This is the segment on lesbian mothers. I'm Deborah, and Bertu is a mother of two sons, and Petra is a mother of a daughter. And they've got a lot to say, and I think maybe we could start off just by talking about the fact that they're both lesbians, they're both mothers, but what's the difference? You've got a daughter, Petra, and...
What do you mean, what's the difference?
Well, you know, what's the difference, your relationship with your daughter, and Bertu's relationship with her sons? I mean, you're mothers, but there's a difference in the way you're perceived as a mother, and the relationship between your daughter, and especially if you're out as a lesbian.
My relationship with Patricia is, I think, excellent, and I don't find myself rejected from community as Bertu told me she does, because I have a daughter, and I never had a problem with telling someone that I have a child.
Particularly in the lesbian community,
yes.
I think, eh? That to have a daughter is... And Bertu is now pointing to the...
Premier Festival de Célébration Lesbienne.
Du 30 août au 2e septembre, that takes place up in Rawdon, in northern Quebec. And
this is a good example of what we're talking about, because right there, you will see if you open it up and look in the back, that they have something called girl care, which means that our sons are out in the cold again.
Which means that you're out in the cold again, which negates your experience as a lesbian, as a mother.
Right, which also means that lesbians who are non-mothers are deciding my definition and my children's definition and our limitations for us, and of course to their comfort and to our detriment. So I suggest strongly that we boycott and girl cut this event at any cost.
That's your feeling, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's so exclusionary, and again, it's one of those divisive elements that mm-hmm. the lesbian community seems to be doing a lot lately.
Well,
I can say that, you know. Anyways, let's talk about lesbian mothers, though. And Petra, how old is your daughter?
She's 5 years old.
And she's starting to go to school.
Yes.
And wow, what's that like? I mean, you're bringing her up, and what's her concept of you and a relationship that you have with another woman? How, I mean, to her this is normal, right? Or the norm is, it's very natural.
Yes.
And there's going to be certain...
Except Patricia still gets a little bit... she's probably not completely used to that with another woman, because she thinks that my girlfriend is her friend also,
mm-hmm.
which she is, but Patricia thinks that me and her as Patricia are equal friends to my girlfriend, so she gets quite jealous sometimes. And
really?
Yeah. So we have to be really careful what we're talking or what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're breaking new ground in a lot of ways, particularly when she goes to school. And Bertu, your boys are in school, aren't they? Or
I should first tell you that I have a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I lost my 13-year-old when he was a year old to the courts. And that's another story which many of us lesbian mothers do go through. And the thing that's really scary for me as a lesbian mother is that when he goes to daycare, if he says something about my sexual activity, which I'm pretty open with in front of him, I could have youth protection at my door a lot faster than a heterosexual mother would. Whether she is single or not doesn't even matter. Even if I have a lover. In fact, especially if I have a lover,
mm-hmm.
I would have them at my door a lot faster. So it's a bit of a schizo existence. You really don't know how to make your child be proud of having a lesbian mother, because you get this from heterosexual communities, such as your friends, heterosexual mothers, the daycare, school, all kinds of other areas where they're demanding that you tone down your lesbianism, meaning you sort of remain in the closet to some degree.
Sure, yeah, be a lesbian.
And then you get lesbians who don't invite you to a music festival.
Yeah.
And so, and then you have other people like my mother who can't believe that you could be a lesbian and a mother at the same time because it's obvious that you fucked with men. You just don't know how to make your child proud and accept this as a norm, you know, because my dream would be for him to grow up one day and to see heterosexuality as an option, a possibility.
An alternative,
you know. And this is not, you know, my lesbian sisters and heterosexual mothers, other lesbian mothers with daughters also are in a position of privilege in comparison to me. So as a lesbian with two sons, I really don't know how I could be ordinary in my mothering as much as I'd like to be.
Right, right. There are just too many things that are thrown up in your way, too many barriers that you've got to hurdle all the time.
All the time. It's a non-stop kind of thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Which reminds me, I have a little poem. It seems appropriate. Maybe I should
read it now. Okay.
It says, I am such a fucking burden on everyone. I pay no taxes. I live off of your taxes. Then I go and drain all my ex-boyfriends of all the milk and juice and bread I can get and fuck only with women. Aren't I something? Castrated bitch. Lazy fucking country. Selfish mother of only sons. Men, beware. You might be my next victim. Women, beware, you might even like my children. I remember my cool horizons, mother stroking foreheads with cumin hands. I am at ease. I don't have to open my eyes or smile. I can just take it. Just take it.
Petra.
Yes.
No, you're Birju.
Sorry. I forgot.
As Patricia gets older, I mean, do you find your task... Do you realize that it's going to get more difficult? That the questions she's going to start asking, and the things she's going to start asking about your lifestyle, and the questioning that's going to happen, and the teasing that she's going to get at school, and the questions and the probing, and I'm just wondering what kind of agenda you might kind of set for that, if you can organize that at all, or if you just kind of wait till it happens and then.
Well, we did have recently a discussion on boyfriends and girlfriends. And,
five.
Oh, yay. She didn't ask me.
Really?
I had to answer.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it a little bit, and she did accept that there are girls who have girlfriends, there are boys who have boyfriends, and there are girls who have boyfriends and boys who have girlfriends. And she was fine with it. And mm-hmm. she asked me if I wanted to marry a woman. And I said, if it would be possible, I probably would. And Patricia said that it was okay, but she wants to marry a man because she has a boyfriend.
And you have to say, well, okay.
Yeah, it's fine with me. Yeah. She can choose whatever she likes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's the key here, is you can choose whatever you like. And what's it like with a 13-year-old, an adolescent?
Boy. Well, my situation is quite unique in that respect, too, because he does not live with me.
Okay.
So, you know, when he is with me, in fact, I came out to him last summer, and his first response was he thought I was going to have a sex change operation because he figured that gay meant men, homosexuals, that it never even crossed his mind that females could also be gay. So, you know, it's very confusing for children like my other son who come from a very, very traditional conservative background that his mother is a lesbian, so now, this summer, for the first time in 11 years, he has decided not to visit me.
Really?
Yeah.
That must hurt.
Well, yes and no. I'm relieved, too. You know, because you get tired. You get really tired of being discriminated by your adult or semi-adult children also, that you just feel like saying, well, hell with you, grow up and learn and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a summer to myself, and I just don't feel like dealing with this from you, too.
Yeah, maybe we'll meet as adults again sometime.
Exactly. So I'm tired of fighting, basically.
Yeah. What's the relationship between the two brothers?
Oh, it's very odd. I mean, I just don't know what to expect. It's very, very odd. They're very different from each other. And I suspect we will have some traumas, possibly some comedy, too. We'll see.
You've got to have a sense of humor.
Yes.
I can see that.
Yes.
You've got schools written down there.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm very, very scared of sending my child to a school. Because I have seen it even in the daycare, how daycare workers discourage the same-sex children from touching each other, too much. I mean, holding hands on the way to the elevator is fine, but kissing each other on the mouth and hugging a bit too close, well, they must be separated. And I'm really scared because I've had one child taken away. And yeah. It's very easy to have children taken away from lesbian mothers. And we don't even have any kind of protection. You know, we don't have lesbian funds. We don't have... what was it you were saying, Petra, about fathers, gay fathers group?
Yeah, I was reading the Mirror yesterday. And they have L'Association de Père Gay de Montréal.
Right.
And there's, like, nothing for mothers, which is amazing.
Well, it's amazing, but, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit older and a little bit more cynical when it comes to these things, because I feel like it's not so amazing when we have to work two jobs just to pay the rent, where a lot of gay fathers are in more favorable economical positions, and after all, they are men.
Yeah, but that's why we thought about, we had this little discussion with Bershu yesterday that we could start, like, lesbian mother support group, and maybe we'll see how many people will be interested in it, and maybe even start a little fund.
Yeah, like for custody battles and things
have,
like that.
You know, problems with getting your kids or whatever.
Because it probably is inevitable for, you know, at some point.
Because I'm getting for this, like, now.
You're doing that now, yeah. And there's legal fees and time involved.
Yeah. And you need the lesbian community support there, too. But I feel that we are the most invisible of all the groups. Yeah. In feminist situations, we're just very, very invisible. And I feel like when my lesbian sisters can't see me, they aren't even being rude. They just aren't seeing because I am so invisible. So I can't even really, like, get angry at them.
Yeah. Why, what is it fundamentally that makes them not see you?
Privilege.
And also their relationship with small people. I mean, you know, they maybe don't have anything to do with children, and so they're maybe a strange concept to them.
Well, especially
and they're not
in the
given
Western.
Much respect.
Yeah, especially in the white Western context is quite true, because we only usually have one mother, and you know, she better have it together or else kind of thing. We don't really have, you know, when our lovers look after our children, often it's called co-parenting. Mm. You know, they don't really just do this because it needs to be done, you know, so...
Okay. What schools? Well, Virgie was talking about her feeling about sending children, her child to school, and you feel the same way, Petra, about sending Petra off to school? And
Patricia.
Oh, yes, you're Petra. She's Patricia. I always get that mixed up. You're too old for school.
If I'm afraid to send her to school?
Yeah.
Not really.
No?
No.
How come?
Because I think that Patricia will be smart enough to answer them properly, or just cut them off.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at somewhere you've got to think that you're doing your best, and that she's got to go out there and.
Because if I'll be open with her completely, she can pick it up after me and be open about it as much as she can. And
yeah.
Then she won't get hurt by her, you know, hearing that from somebody else.
Petra is impatient.
Sorry.
Okay, the announcements. We have 2 minutes. Go.
No, we wanted to say because Deborah was trying to help us and Dykes and Mike a couple times to start that support group for lesbian mothers. And we thought because it's summer, we thought we could go and have a picnic on the mountain with kids. So we wanted to do it next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Not this coming Sunday, but the
Sunday
after.
After.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's June 30th.
Yes.
Okay.
And we should meet on the southeast corner of Park Avenue and Mont Royal.
Okay.
So be there.
Okay, and I'll announce it again. And okay, lesbian mothers, please. We've been doing this for a couple of months now, putting out the call.
Because we know you're there.
That's right.
Yeah, we know you're there. Don't be afraid. Well, we understand that.
You want to say something?
No, just that this was hardly enough time to really tackle any of the realities that we have to live with every day, and I hope that other lesbians won't be afraid to use the M word in all of their struggles as far as being a lesbian goes, because none of us are free until we're all free, and to remember that violence against women and children is also violence against men, because you're all born of females. Don't forget that, and also remember that the word other is in the word mother.
That's thank all. You, Virgil, and thank you, Petra, very much.
You're welcome.
Father, get off! Father, get off! Father, get off! Father, get off! I feel strong today. I feel strong because it's good here to be here today with so many people publicly, visibly demanding an end to the violence against gays and lesbians. I'm Pierre Bone, and I'm with the Ottawa Hall Lesbian and Gay Task Force on Violence, and I'm fed up with anti-gay and anti-lesbian violence. I'm here with you today to send a clear message to gay bashers in or out of uniform that the violence stops here today. The Ottawa Hall Task Force extends its full support to the demands advanced by Montreal's gay and lesbian community. The police went way too far, and they should say so publicly. Our community has endured too much violence for too long. I, for one, don't feel like taking this shit anymore. However, our anger alone is not enough to end the violence. We need to send a strong, clear message to the gay bashers like the Montreal police. That message, we're strong, we have numbers, and the anti-gay and anti-lesbian violence will not be tolerated. Not by us, not by our friends, not by our families. Thank you.
Celebrate summer solstice, the end of school, La Fête de Quebec with the Doughboys at the Rialto on June 21st. The Doughboys Christmas season with their self-produced show open to all ages.
Quoi une autre, Nino Shawit, chaîne de tenor CKUT 90.3 FM.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennargi O'Sullivan of the Tlaalit Cease Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Jason Whitebear is one of our youngest panelists. He is a residential school survivor.
Gaki Waku Maganak, Nadi, Nwendin Naganag. How Matakiwas. I said all my relations in three different languages. Those languages were taken away and given with this one here that I've mastered in residential school. And they told me that once you go there, he says, you're not going to come home with this anymore. You're not going to come home being able to speak Nehewewen. You're not going to be able to speak. But when you do go, what I want you to do is I want you to try and master everything that they give you so that they can never fool us anymore. In my generation, we're at the point now where we understand the nuances between the languages. We can say, bonjour, Anin. I wish I knew a little bit of Arab, but you know, the point being is that we're all sitting around here and we're very learned people. We're very knowledgeable. We know how to say, to say a little bit of each other's language nowadays. And that's just us as this language, as this. And I think that's a direct result of residential school is because we always ask each other, where are you from? Well, how do you say this? How do you say that? so that when you run into somebody else, you're allowed to respect them and say, Tansi, how? Wuzhu anin. So regardless of what was taken away from me during my residential school formative years, I haven't lost the ability to see. And so it is with this that I thank each and every one of you. I'd like to say, Ninanaskamun Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski, and that's Cree for I'm grateful for everything in this land. I had to learn that from a kukum, because I was speaking in front of chiefs one time and I said, I can't speak the language. So she taught me that little bit. Ninanaskamutaman Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski. Hi, hi. Thank you.
You have just heard at Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating. Thank you.
years ago, in Montreal City, there was a great emptiness, without any kind of sound, without any kind of harmony, without any kind of voice. Only a hideous monster, the monster of the silence, and his horrible laughing. The crew monster had been covered the mouth of every citizen from Montreal with a lot of stronger species of masking tape in order to keep quiet any opinion or disagreement. The Black Hand Productions presents The Seven Warriors, the battle for the voice of the voiceless. In 1987, those seven warriors, most of them volunteers, without any kind of payment, found an effective weapon against the monster. They worked for a Ville community radio station, CKUT 90.3 FM, which waves destroyed the monster of the silence. The malefic creature couldn't resist a community radio station with intelligence radio shows, truthful and impartial news, excellent music programming, and the most important.
CKUT is a community radio station that right now is the voice of the voiceless.
The monster died 20 years ago. And today the Montrealers have a democratic media communication, which one, they can express their opinions in complete freedom, without any piece of masking tape in their mouths. Nowadays, other seven warriors are taking care CKUT, but without the over of 200 volunteers working, it's impossible to be on air.
Do you want to be a volunteer in CKUT?
Yes, of course, you want. Don't forget the battle for the voice of the voiceless, never ending. And remember, a new monster of the silence could be live, and he would like to put a stronger pieces of masking tape in our mouths.
When you hear the words mental illness, what do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know, and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You are this or you are that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
Êtes-vous locataire à Montréal? Avez-vous des questions sur vos droits? Votre comité logement peut vous aider. Pour trouver le comité logement pour votre quartier ou pour plus de ressources, visitez le www.rclalq.qc.ca.
CKUT?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you're listening to C. Hey, yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. You're listening to K. Yo, check 1, 2, this is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you're listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
Yeah, perfect, man. Thanks a lot, man. Keep doing that. Real heads, keep listening.
Thank you.